children are being excused. And the volunteers are going to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the children. You know, every time we meet as a church family, there's a purpose. Occasionally, like it was on Friday night, we meet to fellowship and have fun, laugh a little bit at ourselves and at others, which we do a lot of that on Friday nights, and learn who cheats and who doesn't cheat. Okay. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time that the Lord says we're supposed to have. But when we meet for services on Sundays and Wednesdays, and sometimes other days, we meet to build up each other. It's to help each one of us be a better servant, better equipped for God. And normally, I would bring Palm Sunday message. But on this past Wednesday, we heard a Palm Sunday message that I could not improve upon in any way. It came from a messianic former Jewish pastor or priest who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he shared with us, if you missed Wednesday night, you missed a real opportunity to improve your knowledge about Jesus and what it meant when he came into Jerusalem that day. The question I'm going to ask this morning is going to be a little different. Does our conversation please God? That's a pretty serious question. Does our conversation please God? Now, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when the Bible was translated into English in 1611 by King James, they used some old English words, which are today are old English words, but their meanings have changed. Normally, conversation is a communication between two or more people. That's not what it means in the New Testament. The word conversation in the New Testament means testimony. Testimony. What our life is saying, not what our mouth is saying. Just as the word charity means self-sacrificing love, that's Old English. So, I'm going to ask the question in the Old English form, does your conversation please God? And I want to ask one other question along with that. And that's in the modern English. Does your testimony please God? The reason that I ask these questions is that lately I've heard conversation that should not be taking place among Christians. And many times you and I, as we have lived our lives the way we wanted to live them, and then we have become saved, and suddenly it's a matter of not so much our will, our free will, which we have, Bobby mentioned it this morning, it's God's will. What does God's will have to do with you? because he has a will for each one of you, including myself. I have heard expressions used, and I've mentioned it not too long ago, some of it. There are things that are being said that shouldn't be said. And I don't know if it's just in an unguarded moment or if it is a thoughtless moment or maybe both. In our opening verse, which is 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 13, I'd like to read that right now. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 13, Paul, writing to Timothy, one of his converts, "These things command and teach." Paul is telling Timothy, as a minister of the gospel, that this is what he is to teach. He goes on to tell Timothy, "Let no man despise your youth." In my situation, that's not a problem. He says, "But be thou an example of the believers in word, verbally, in conversation, testimony-wise, in charity, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." That word doctrine means teaching. Why do we come to church? I hope we come to church to hear about God and His Son, Jesus Christ, to learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and who He is. I know we don't come to offend God. We're His children. But yet, that occasionally happens. What's happening to our conversation, literally? Actually, it seemed to be deteriorating. In Philippians 1:27, God's word says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, and whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Occasionally there are visitors in our services. What if a visitor should overhear conversation in our churches that should not take place? I personally would have a problem with that. You should too, because it's your church. You're part of the church family. There's really no excuse for using language which is not appropriate for Christians. I mentioned earlier, I have heard on occasion the expression, "Oh God." That's blasphemy, because that's not a prayer. That's part of a conversation. I've heard, "Oh my God." Again, part of a conversation. I've actually heard the expression, "Get your butt in here." Wrong conversation, people. That's not Christian conversation. That is actually offensive, and someone came to me after hearing that. We need to think before we open our mouth. We need to plan our conversations. Now, it happens once in a while, and sometimes it's a slip of the tongue, it's a slip of the mind, but it needs to be dealt with between that individual and God. There needs to be a time of confession. There should be, and this is the part that I'm wondering about, there should be some conviction in the heart due to from the Holy Spirit saying, hey, that wasn't good. There should be. I don't know if there is. I don't know if there isn't. I'm just mentioning this as a help to build us all up. Now, like I said, it does happen once in a while, but there should be an immediate apology because there should be some conviction there. If the Holy Spirit does not convict the person about the language, then they have hardened their heart by using it as a common part of their vocabulary. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Absolutely everything we do and say should be involving our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and his will for us. Our speech, our language, the places we go, the things we do should have a place in God's plan for us. It should be in line with polite, civilized, culturally proper conduct. And that would be inoffensive to brothers and sisters in Christ. Even when we are frustrated or disappointed, our language should still be civil and polite. The spiritual welfare of those that we are in contact with should be the thing always foremost in our minds and hearts. That's called love. You don't. I know there is a cliche out there that says you always hurt the one you love. That's not necessarily has to be true. What is our goal for each day? You should have a goal for today. And I hope it's not lunch, okay? I don't want to plan my day until I do my Bible reading in case that the Holy Spirit should speak to my heart and I have to initiate activities that I was not planning on. It's really not about us. It's about God's purpose for us. A lot of time I get frustrated because I let life circumstances dictate what I'm doing. And if I took the time to ask God what he wanted me to do, I probably wouldn't be standing in line out at the DMV for hours, only to find out I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Standing for hours in another line. Before. Now, I'm talking to myself too. I should be asking God more. What do you want me to do with this time? We call a day. As we continue to think about God's plan for our conversation, we must spend time in the scriptures so that God does have a chance to communicate with us. Our life is either our plan or God's plan. It is usually quite different as to which road we go down. We have a job to do, involving what we used to be and what we're supposed to be. Ephesians 4:22 and 23 tells us that she put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. One of the things that God kept telling his people was that they were stubborn when it came to their minds. Have you ever heard the expression? Have you ever used the expression, "My mind is made up, don't confuse me with facts"? Sometimes we do. God could get his people to move around as he directed them, but he couldn't get them to change the way that they acted and thought. He called them stubborn. I think that it had to do with their minds. I find that my mind tends to be somewhat stubborn when it comes to doing things my way or God's way. Like I said earlier, life keeps getting in the way for me. Does it for you? Paul kept talking about our conversation, meaning testimony, and he was concerned about one thing. Hebrews 13, 5 through 8. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. The same Jesus that ministered 2,000 years ago, the same Jesus that entered Jerusalem today, 2,000 years ago, is the same Jesus today that we serve, the same Jesus today that we can talk to. The only difference is that he has died since then, shed his blood for you and my sin. And that takes away our sin, and that gives us, makes us children of God. Now, Jesus is not going to change. So what he accepted in his days of his ministry, are going to be the same things he accepts today. If change is going to take place, it's going to have to take place in you and I. If we have a language problem, we're going to have to work on it from our side. God and Jesus are not going to accept it on our terms. We're going to have to change the way that you and I do things. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 21. For as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Peter talks about our conversation or our testimony being worthless, vain, if it's like it was before we were saved. Is there a difference in the way that you talk, or is that one area that needs work on? There is a cliche that says actions speak louder than words. And that's not always true. Sometimes the words we say precipitate actions we never anticipated. Sometimes they hurt other people. Our words sometimes are the impression that gets left behind for people to remember. And I find that I have to be awfully careful about how I respond to questions. This may be something that you don't have any problem with. Sometimes my mind is out here someplace, and somebody says something to me, and I either don't hear it, or it doesn't register. I'll give you an example. I was at another church ministering as their pastor, and a lady came in while I was preparing the songs for the service. So my mind was in the songbook and what would be taking place. Linda knows what's going on. And she said something to me. And I said, "Well, that's nice. I hope everything works out." And then I went back to the songbook. 3 hours later, somebody in the church told me, "Well, what did you think about what Kathy told you?" I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, she broke her leg." "That's fine. I hope everything works out." People, we are so busy with life. Many times we don't understand or even hear what is taking place next to us. And we need to love better each other. We need to be concerned for each other. Our life will work out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. We're going to be with the Lord. Jesus loved us. Our testimony is either going to attract people to Jesus, or it's going to drive them away from him. If we attract people to Jesus, it means eternal life for them. But if we drive them away with things we say or the ways we act around them, it could mean eternal torment in hell for them. That's on us. How important is that? How do you think God feels about our day-to-day testimony, especially when our language is offensive to the people around us? The name of Jesus, God, or even referring to the Holy Spirit in anything but prayer should never take place. When we mention the name of God, it should be in prayer. When we mention Jesus Christ, it should be in prayer. When we mention the Holy Spirit, it's okay to pray to him too. He's God. He hears our prayer. The subject matter of our conversation should glorify God, should glorify Jesus, should glorify the Holy Spirit. Every word we speak is either vain or profitable. Of all the words that you and I speak, what category would they fall into? Jesus was very concerned about our speech. He really was. He was concerned about his disciples' speech. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, Jesus said this to his disciples: "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you," now this is Jesus, "that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." every word that you speak, you will give account of in the day of judgment. You say, well, I don't have to stand in the judgment, great white throne judgment. You're right, you don't. But you will stand in the Bema Seat judgment the moment that your soul leaves the body you live in. Bema Seat. Jesus will judge what we have done, what we have not done. And we'll either lose or gain rewards. Our punishment has been dealt with. He took it. But there are still rewards there. God is just. He's not going to let you do something extremely good and not give you some kind of a reward for doing that. He's not going to let you do something extremely bad and not take away some reward that you have earned. He's just. Called the Bema Seat judgment. Christians will have to stand that. He goes on in verse 37 of that same passage. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I like to challenge all of us, myself included. I'd like each of us to plan to speak to at least one person every day for the next week about Jesus. Some of you won't have any trouble doing that. Some of us might. But each one of us speak to at least one person every day for this next week. And it should be easy to do. Easter's coming. It's the season where you can talk about him because people know about him. Some people do. But I'd like each of us to speak to one person about Jesus this week. Now, all of us talk. All of us talk to each other. All of us visit. We talk about things that have happened in our past. We talk about things that we plan on doing. But pick out one person to talk to about Jesus Christ. Not, oh, he's a great guy, but to tell them who he is, what he means to you. Next Sunday morning, we're going to gather at 8 o'clock, and I hope some of you will have some testimonies about Jesus and what he has done for you and done in your life. And if you share that kind of information intentionally with someone, you might be surprised at the outcome. I think that when we get to heaven, that I'm afraid most of our conversations will have been vain in God's sight. Think about that. How much do they mean? Conversations that we had last year with people, were any of them significant? Did we talk to somebody about Jesus? Or was most of our conversation, if you want to arrange it, this is a scary thought because I did this for myself. If you want to arrange it in percentages, what percentage of your conversation was about Jesus last year? And what percentage was about something else? Scale looks pretty bad. Think about that. God put you here for that reason. Can you change your conversation from the past to talk about Jesus instead? If you don't think that you can do that, then you probably need to spend some time on your knees talking to God and letting him change your heart and your mind, that Jesus might be the center of your focus. Does your conversation please God? Father, we want to please you. We want to do the things that you would have us to do, and we know, Father, you've put us here for a purpose, for a reason. Help us, Father, to make the changes we need to make so that we can have an eternal impact on the people around us. Father, use us to make a difference. Use us to do the things you want us to do. And Father, we'll praise you for all that you do for us and through us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. We're going to go ahead and have a closing.